everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the VH Sales Kennel Kelp Holistic Healing Hour with your host and moderator, me, Grandpa Bill. Welcome, one and all. Some of you via invite when you have the opportunity to get here to do so. Ubiquitous audience, one and all, however you got here, thank you. Thank you for being here, and thank you for continuing to pay it forward. We do grow exponentially with your help, and we are seeing a modicum of success in that regard. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. More so with provocative guests like the one that I'm about to have here in the green room here in a moment, my guest Damla. She's going to help me out on the last name. The followers are all chuckling already. You guys and gals that follow the show know why. To do her justice of pronunciation and also her website. Just to emphasize that I'm saying it correctly, I'm going to spell it in a moment. So those of you that may have heard the Prelude show, you may have heard me introduce myself to Damla and all of us via the Prelude show as I met her, how I met her in until today, personally, my great pleasure, extending my capacity as host to her as guest, and she so graciously accepted. So biography there, verbatim, Damla Akhtekin, she's going to correct me on that, spelt A-K-T-E-K-I-N, is an inner child, energetic wound healer, crystal healing teacher, and soul healing writer who helps other self-healers and healers move beyond the energetic wounds of their inner children and shine brighter than they thought possible so that they can fully show up in their lives to heal themselves, their families, and their soul tribe. Through her own healing journey, she discovered a unique way, to approach crystal healing, which is based on cultivating a loving, co-creative, and respectful relationship with crystals that activates their limitless healing potential. She is the author of life-changing daily practice journals, creator of the Chakra Bliss Vault Crystal Healing Membership, and the host of her own fine podcast show, Conversations with Healers Podcast. You can find out more about her offerings and take a quiz to determine your energetic wounds and how they show up in your life on her website. I'm going to spell it and she'll give us the pronunciation correctly in a moment. It is ADROPOFOM.com, all small cases, letters. That's ADROPOF as in Frank, OM.com. And we are calling everybody's attention, your audience, my audience, the new audiences, everybody, please do go to spelt one more time, ADROPOFOM.com/, in this instance, your, dash, energetic, dash, wounds, one more dash, quiz, I lied, two more dashes, -2/. This is a great place. If you get there to do so, to take your energetic wounds quiz to determine what your energetic wounds are and how they show up in your life. And I think this is a perfect place for me to come back on camera to myself and introduce Damla. And please take it away, Damla, and introduce us all to yourself and what you do and how you do it. And thank you so much for being here. Welcome.
Hi, Bill. Great to be here. So thanks for spelling everything. That's helpful. Yeah, my website is adropofom.com.
Thank you.
And if people go there, they don't need to remember the whole link. You can I have a link that says free resources, another one that says all healing offers, and you can find all my paid and free offers there. And I always tell people, you know, don't be prejudiced as to what's paid or free, because I pour the same amount of love and soul to each and every one of them. And some of my free offers, I have an EFT tapping there that helps people with releasing some of the physical and emotional symptoms they live through. That is very, very powerful. In fact, I would recommend people to do that every single day.
Just a quick interjection. Two out of my last three guests, because we talk about tapping so much on what you and I talked about in the green room about my show. So your timing is fortuitous. And of course, you've been doing it before the timing of being on the show, but it's very fortuitous. Continue.
Yes. So who I am and what I do, it continues to change and evolve. But at this point in time, I help people see into the inner realms of their existence, specifically their inner children. And then I define that a little differently than anyone else. And crystal healing is a tool for that. EFT or emotional freedom technique is a tool for that. But mostly I work through reading your energy and through my own intuition and through reaching into what I call your energetic guides. And through that, we dive into your inner realm. When I say inner realm, I mean your body. What I discovered over the years of being a healer, specifically an energy healer, is that there is a lot of hidden potentials in the body. And I call them your little quantum specks of infinite beingness. And what often happens is, let's say as a two-year-old, you experience trauma, and that little spark gets hidden and gets overcome by a pattern that protects it. And when that happens, when you reach to your age 35, 55, 65 or more, you are living with unrealized potentials. So I don't see inner children, what I call inner children. Inner children are not just children. They could be younger than 18, of course, but they could be any moment of your yesterdays that hold a potential that you haven't realized yet. And that potential exists in the quantum realm. And that potential is available to you. So in that sense, I don't see your inner children. By the way, the quantum potentials and wounds of your ancestors also live there in you, in your body. And we're all connected through this infinite web of life. I don't see inner children as broken. I don't see them as irreparably lost. I see them literally as just hiding beneath the gunk, beneath the trauma. And the job becomes for me to create a safe space for you where you can begin to move the debris aside and create a field, a space for that child to shine and claim her or his potential. I'm going to stop there and see what's rising up in you.
Well, I got one quick question. Yourself, personally, I'm sure, have delved into Tesla quantum physics and what have you. Does it go that deep within what you're encountering? Probably not quite that deep, not to put words in your mouth. Or does it?
Yes. I mean, I can explain to you what a drop of Om is.
Please do.
Why
please
I chose do. That.
Please do.
So first of all, my name, I grew up in Turkey. I live in the United States now. My name means a droplet in Turkish.
Okay. I thought I discerned drop must have been prevalent. You just cleared that up for me. Thank you. Continue.
Yes. So you mentioned quantum physics. So according to what we know from physics right now, if we go beyond the atomic particles, there's the subatomic particles. If you go beyond that, you know, what we are looking at theoretically is strings of light. That's the string theory in physics. The strings of light that come in and out of existence in a probability cloud is what we are. Correct. And what everything is, what we can see or can't see. And Om, that comes from the yoga tradition. Correct. Om in Sanskrit is the seed sound of the universe. To me, Om is, if you, Bill, are a probability cloud, Om is the sound of your core essence. So you are a drop of Om, you and everyone listening. We are drops of Om swimming in a sea of Om, sea of vibration. So in that sense, yes, it very much relates.
Okay, it does. No, it does. It does. And again, for Nobody's my people. The people that listen in and follow the show and know how we've dotted the I's and crossed the T's perhaps a little bit differently in the vernacular, if you will. To circumvent back into what she just said, we talk a lot about the neural fiber highway and the electrical current. She kind of just said the same thing coming back. We haven't talked a lot about crystals, which is a subject we have brought up. I'm kind of familiar at a very naive state because I'm so intimately familiar with amethyst. So if you want to segue into that with the crystals, that would be wonderful. In conjunction with the ohm, if you will, you know. Thank you.
They're all related because I've come through, I mean, all of this, what we've been talking about, energy healing, inner child healing, we'll touch on it. Crystal healing as I teach it. It's all in the realm of vibrational healing, about taking responsibility for your ownness, because that's the only thing, the main thing you can change. Crystals are deep essences of nature. First of all, we need to understand that they are our ancestors. They're much older. They have a long view. They've been here for millennia. So you being made up of carbon and water and everything else, your bones being 65% or more minerals, your eyes are 95% or more water. DNA is now classified by scientists as a liquid crystalline structure. The plasma, the lymph fluid, the blood in your body, all crystals. So you got to understand that the ancestors live in you and give you life. And at the same time, we are liquid, mostly liquid crystals. And the crystals who have a structure that is more solid, I tend to think like we must be fascinating creatures for them because they've taken on a certain form that they can hold for thousands, millions of years. Whereas we as creatures change daily, minute by minute. Sure. What they remind us is, the other thing about them is they're so organized. That solid form, so organized, beautiful, sacred, geometrically organized. And we are creatures by our nature who tend to get out of order very quickly and easily. We tend to go into that chaos. There seems to be some sort of like chaos, organized a little bit, and then chaos, and that like cycle. They remind us to how to be organized again. They remind us to.
I'm sorry. How long have you been in the United States, if you will? How long have you been since a child? Or
2002 is when I came here for my studies for my MBA.
Okay, so that's exactly where I was going next. Are you finding that we Westerners are the most challenging on your global events of being in tune with your own heritage and what have you? Obviously, for their history of. Are you finding that we're trying to catch up?
I see myself as a global citizen. I don't see myself as a Westerner or not, even though I did grow up in a very Westernized society.
Okay.
In Turkey, I don't have that distinction. And at this point in my life, I've actually lived in the US and Europe more than I've lived within Turkey.
Right.
So I don't have an opinion on that in that way. Does that answer your question?
No, it does. It does. Let me rephrase the question. Would it be fair to say that old mindsets, wherever they come from around the globe, still enter the play of connecting what we're trying to profess, energy healing, meditation, the Om of yoga? How's the general consensus of reception to it, regardless of where somebody's coming from, I guess, if that makes any sense?
Yes. When someone comes to me, there's a reason. When they go to my website and they're drawn to it, I know that there's a part of them who knows what I can help them with.
Correct.
Now, whether that person answers that call and responds to it then and there or not is their choice. I've had people who told me, Damla, I've had your card for years and years. And then they finally call me, like they open a drawer and they see my card and they call me then. I'm like, great. I mean, that's been your timing. Whatever is your timing is your timing. It's not my job to know that. It's not my job to manage that. My job is to show up.
Correct.
My job is to stay as clear as possible, healing my own energetic wounds and tending to my own inner children. And I also respect the fact that, first of all, there are so many people who don't even know that they have energetic wounds.
So true.
There are so many people who know that they have wounds and trauma. They don't know what to do with it. There are so many people who know, and then they start to do some things, they get some traction, and then they let it go.
Correct.
And then there are people, the ones that I love to work with, who know that they have a trauma, who taking on the responsibility to learn new tools, etc., on their own. They do their self-healing. And then they say, Damla, I reached a plateau. I can't seem to go any deeper or further. Can you help me? That's the place where you recognize you are worth the support. Exactly. You're worth to being held in the safe space. That's my kind of people. That said, I do offer a lot of tools for people who want to go at it themselves, who want to do the self-healing. That's certainly part of the process. You know, there's nothing wrong.
Having visited your website, for sure, for sure. If you want to segue into the quizzes and so forth, please do, because I think that's so beneficial information. Please.
So the main quiz that you mentioned at the beginning, your energetic wounds quiz, is going to give you an idea of where those wounds might be, where those places your inner children are hiding might be. That's the first step, is saying, okay, I have energetic wounds. What are they? So you take the quiz and you have a sense of where to start. For instance, one of them is, did your ancestors migrate? No one necessarily recognizes that as a trauma. It is a huge trauma to move from one energetic setting to another.
For sure.
Even for me, as someone who chose migration, my ancestors were forced into migration from Europe into Turkey due to religious reasons. I chose migration for my own personal reasons. Still, there's a lot of adjustment that happens that leaves a mark in your energy system. And you'll see, I always tell people, I've listed all the energetic wounds that I know of. If I know more, I'll update it. So that's a wonderful start. If you go to my old healing offers, you can find your energetic wounds quiz and start there.
How does that manifest for yourself, if it manifests for yourself? Is it an oversoul, the golden ones, an angel, or all of the above, the ancestors? How does it manifest for yourself? And did that happen at a very early age for yourself?
Did that happen? Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I mean, I have been an empath for all my life, but I didn't know that I was. I've been intuitive all my life. I didn't know that I was. Until I became a mom and I said, okay, I'm going to not ignore my intuition any longer. I will listen to it for everything big and small. How do I connect to the knowing, the loving universe? Just like that. I mean, I imagine a knowing and loving universe.
Yep.
I imagine that the crystal that I am, through occasionally partnering with other crystals, is able to do that through my intention to tap into the life streams of healing and knowing and wisdom. And channel those in many ways through speech, sometimes without speech, just by space holding, through what I write, through what I speak, through the meditations I record. It's a decision to be the channel of love. And my understanding right now is that that idea of crystals making up our body, that idea of us being a universe within this like small body, even our cells being universes, that is love. How else can our cells stay together? And we are, so that idea of being a drop of Om within an ocean of Om to me is being love, surrounded by love. And if you look at the life that way, you begin to connect to things a little bit deeper.
Agreed, and so beautifully said. We say, again, we say that a tiny bit differently, but the same essence, because we talk a lot about water in and of itself, water within the body, who we are, water on the planet. You know, we talk about a lot of subjects. But are you familiar with Vader Austin? Vader Austin, the secret intelligence of water? It doesn't matter, but we talk a lot about her at the level of how water reacts back to us in that regard.
I have I had the chance to interview her for my podcast.
Oh, yeah, okay. So she's an amazing lady, much like yourself. So a faction of our audience is familiar with herself through our shows, more with her, not to minimize her overall work, but with her crystallography work, which is pretty amazing. But I got kind of sidetracked, but the water element and the balance. And do you find that people, as they reach out and connect with you, are they necessarily talking to whatever, their oversouls, their angels, their golden ones, or is that not even really a topic of discussion as they come in? What are you finding in that regard as clients coming to you? Do they feel as though they were led to, you know, from a message from the golden ones, their angel, their oversoul, or not at all?
That's their personal journey. I mean, their belief system, their personal journey is that theirs. And right. I don't need anyone to be belonging to a certain belief system.
I was just wondering if they're avowing that as they come in. You know, I talk to
some of them.
I talk to my oversoul. No, okay.
But as long as they are ready, willing, and able to dive into this work together with me.
And do you find at that interval that they are coming to you for the first time, that for the most part, they've probably done some investigative work, they've done it before, they've tried it, or they're just ready for a new transition? Or a little bit of both?
Yeah, like I was talking about this part before, I am privileged and happy to work with people who have done a lot of work themselves, or who may have been on a journey with other healers even. And then they come to me and they open another layer, another stage of their healing. Or someone might come and this is the first time they're working with a healer. I welcome that as well. You know, there are so many things that affect a decision like this. I think the main one being the decision of I'm worth the support. I don't have to do this on my own. And that's a very courageous decision, because it's a trust requiring decision.
It's a big trust.
I always tell people, you know, the first hour we work together, I'm getting used to your energy. I'm reading into you, and your system, your energy is reading mine and seeing if we're comfortable with each other. Exactly. So it is a process, and it's what I consider a very sacred process.
I agree. I agree. Everything about it is sacred in my humble opinion. So COVID, when it raised its ugly head, you had been doing this for a while, preceding COVID, correct? And what kind of changes, besides the obvious, did COVID throw you a curveball? Or because of being behind closed doors and all of that, it kind of precipitated more people coming out, if you will, in that regard?
In December 2019, I had the intuitive insight telling me strongly to shut down the in-person part of my business.
Yep.
At that point, I was I had my online offerings. I was seeing people in person in this room. And I was meeting with people all over the world through Zoom. So at the end of 2019, as of January 1, I started to see people only online.
Right.
And of course, later on in 2020, March of that year, I understood why. In a lot of respects, I had been preparing for that decision. And the fact that it happened before the pandemic really hit our consciousness made a lot of sense to me. So it was a very natural transition for me, very welcome. And the other thing that happened is I got the chance to turn some of my ideas into reality, some of my projects, one of them being I had been offering crystal workshops for a long time, mantra workshops, and I had the chance through the pandemic in that hermit situation to turn them into writing projects.
Awesome.
So I published 4 different self-healing journals. One of them is a 21-day crystal healing journal where if you're not familiar with crystals, you don't know where to start. That could be a wonderful place.
I'm so glad that you wrote the book, but I'm so glad that you said that because that's a faction that yours truly in the audience that listens to me are probably naive at best, or maybe a little bit. So if you did want to expand a little bit upon crystals, do you have any personal favorites, crystals per se, that you might want to expand upon?
I have a relationship with crystals that is based on love and that is based on intuitive knowing,
right,
and a lot of respect. So if you stop seeing them as objects that you can quote-unquote use,
right,
and start seeing them as ancestors and co-creative partners, that changes the relationship.
Right.
All of a sudden, the question changes from, Bill, if you were a crystal, which you are, if I were to ask you, Bill, what are you good for? What can I use you for? What do you even do? To Bill, I greet you. I greet your sacred existence. I'm here to learn from you. And you're here to learn from me. What can we co-create together? So that completely changes the practice, which is what I'm teaching in the Crystal Healing Journal, which is what I'm teaching in my Crystal Healing membership and online course. And at that point, the question isn't so much, oh, what are your favorite crystals? The question is, how deep can you go?
Correct. Correct.
How much more sacredness can there be in this relationship? Correct. So whether it's a rock you pick up on the side of the road, which is still a mineral, or a crystal you're simply drawn to in a crystal store, regardless of what is being correct written in those small cards, which someone made up, you're better off just going with what you're energetically drawn to and starting to create a relationship, a loving relationship. The title of my journal is Cultivate a Loving Relationship with Crystals, Yourself and Your Soul and the Soul of Life.
Right.
And that's what it leads to when you cultivate a loving relationship with a seeming inanimate object, but you begin to see it as an ancestor, a sacred container,
correct,
just like you,
correct,
a beautifully sacred geometry holder.
Correct.
And then when you look into the mirror, can you see the same? Which you are all of those things. You're made up of sacred geometry. You started with the flower of life with one cell to many cells. So that changes everything.
It does. It does. One of the things that I do at my own show, because I've been doing this in one way, shape, form, manner, let me make sure I get the right bottle here. You probably can't discern that too much, but that is an amethyst. I'm not sure how clear the picture is coming across. This is a water that we're blessed with in Maine, natural spring-wise, the preservation, deep cavernous water. It is, to your point, it is sacred. It is very so classified. But I actually project images to this water, and for a really long time, and I feel as though it's come back to reward me trifold, because it's connecting what is in my body and those. I know I'm rich in amethyst. I just know that I am, and I am by imbibing this water. So again, folks that listen to my shows, we talk about food for the mind, the body, and the soul. She just maybe not sustenance of food and water per se, sustenance for the human body. But she just reiterated everything we've talked about, obviously to your expertise. But we've kind of skirted crystals. So I'm so glad that you're here, because I personally want to start delving into those deeper and starting to talk about them more at my shows as well. So how are you finding people that are coming to you that at that juncture have no familiarity with crystals, and how are they being receptive? And oh boy, that was great, you know, along the way. How are you finding that?
I think that crystals call out to people in certain times of their lives.
I agree.
Again, some people are ready, willing, and able to hear the call. For correct. Me, that was when I became a mom, and in the aftermath of being a mom and the being in the trauma of birth. Correct. And all of that. And I had a single mission, just to heal myself, to be able to be there for my child. And that's when I said, I'm just going to be open to anything and everything that comes my way. And crystals were coming in strongly in that time. And I listened, and I dove in, and I realized that, what I needed, which was this loving connection, relationship, wasn't being portrayed in books and internet and anywhere else. So I sort of created my own little realm of this, because it doesn't have to be complicated, Bill. It doesn't have to be. It's simply the decision to create a loving bond with a structure that holds sacred geometry. It's as simple as that. It doesn't have to be that you need to know everything there's to know about crystals. It doesn't have to be that you need to know everything there's to know about chakras.
Correct.
Because as a new mom, I didn't have time to learn any of those.
Correct.
I just go into it intuitively, and it worked. And it was a gradual process of me deepening my intuition, finding myself back to my soul, finding myself back to what I loved, which is healing. So to answer your question, how people find me, you know, that's a mystery these days. Sometimes they listen to podcasts like this. Sometimes they just find me out of the blue. Right. And then whether they dive into the deeper realms of crystal healing or not, it's really their choice. One thing I can say is my crystal healing membership is really, truly based on the simplicity of crystal yeah. healing. And I often tell people I partner with crystals for the recordings, which are like 45 minutes, or I have 10 minutes shorter healings there. You don't even need to have crystals on you or around you
right.
to benefit from those, because first of all, I'm holding the energy of the crystals anyways, and you're a crystal. So to me, anything you do with yourself, that has a meditative quality is going to be a crystal healing. If you being in nature is a crystal healing. Right. You staring lovingly at someone's eyes, that's crystal healing. And people tell me, Damla, you got me through the pandemic. You got me through loss. You got me through divorce. What they mean is the healings give them a chance to just be with themselves and to reorganize their crystalline body. It is as simple as that. Do you have to have the crystal healings that I offer to do that? No. But this is my offering. This is what's coming through me. And I lovingly and very dedicatedly offer that. So it's there for you. It's very affordable. And yet, if you're finding yourself on the edge of, oh, I don't know about this, this and that, that's fine too. That's where you are.
Exactly.
I'm going to continue to offer what I offer, and you can see whether you're drawn to it or not.
We also have a weekly coherence meeting, meditation. They talk. It's pretty much the gamut within the intuitive group led by the individual who goes through the anatomy of the body a lot and trapping our breath work and lots of the energy healing things that you talk about. We haven't talked a lot about crystals there yet, but I know it's on. I don't moderate that show. I'm a blessed guest. So I think that's in an upcoming situation because the moderator is very in tune to crystals, point being, when he decides to incorporate that into the things that should be interesting. So my point is there's a faction, hopefully when they hear this, that kind of have heard this to different levels, and within that intuitive group, which is pretty significant by numbers and starting to grow, there's the diversity with other healers, much like yourselves, within the entourage. Veda Austin's a member with her busy schedule when she can come through and has been a guest speaker there before and what have you. But before we segue out, and I'm not rushing you, I want to make sure you repeat all of your ways that folks can reach out to you over and above the websites, plural, because your website is wonderful as well, and your social media. And then when we get to that point, I always like to have my guests, where the world's at the precipice right now, what we can do to, I feel as though we're at the gateway of some really, really good things that have the potentiality of changing for the good. With perhaps a little turbulence for a while longer in between. So if you can make sure that we know everything about you and, you know, your websites and so forth, please do that first. And I'll let you segue right into that aforementioned, where are we at and what would you suggest? Thank you again for being here and doing so. Thank you.
Absolutely. People can find me at adropofom.com, ADROPOFOM.com. You can see my free or paid offerings there, including my self-healing journals, the crystal healing membership, and I have quite a few meditations, channeled meditations there. And on Instagram and Facebook as well. Just a drop of om is how you find me. And I'm pretty accessible. If you have a question about anything that we talked about, you can ask me. To answer your question, Bill, I'm going to touch on astrology a little bit.
Please
so we Pluto changed signs in March 23, 2023. He came into Aquarius. I know that because that's the day that my nephew was born, and I was in the surgery with him. Pluto changing signs is a big deal. Pluto is the big gatekeeper of transformation. Pluto is the bringer of all the things you haven't healed yet. And then Pluto changed signs back again, back to Capricorn. And now sort of he's waiting his turn. And he's going to come back to Aquarius in January 21st, 2024, which is my birthday.
So happy birthday when it gets here. Great day.
I already know, Bill, that I'm going to have a, you know, interesting upcoming few years. What does that mean for you? What that means is when Pluto changes signs to Aquarius, the Aquarius being the sign of collective transformation, collective evolution. You're going to have to decide how you fit into this society and how you want to fit into this society. You're going to have to take advantage of all the healing tools available to you. You're going to need to take responsibility between now and then, before it's too late. Take responsibility for your own healing, for your own little drop of om, for your own vibration, and say, before I even think about the collective, I need to come to a healed whole place myself. You need to think about your boundaries. You need to think about your responsibilities and what you're taking on that's not yours and what you're not taking on that needs to be yours. You need to think about how your vibration affects everyone else. So this is a very potent time for healing. I am studying astrology as well, and I do astrology readings as well. I know we didn't touch on that, but just to say the least, you struggling is just another clue for you that you need deeper healing. So just putting that out there.
Beautifully said. And real quickly, you have to come back now because you need to, you know, you need to expand upon the astrological fact. And I'm just throwing another name out there. It doesn't really matter. Do you happen to know the works of Raquel Spring?
No, I don't.
It doesn't matter. She's pretty good at astrology. She's peripherally part of our coherence group too. And astrology, I'll leave you with a joke on a local level here in New England many, many, many years ago. And he's gone to the great beyond, and I'm sure he's doing good work, whatever his beyond life has manifested for himself. His name was Daryl Martini, and he was an astrologer. This goes back to probably the 70s, early 80s. And he had a pretty good run. And the only thing, in my naivety, I listen into astrology and I try to connect and I need some teachings. But I remember his saying, like he said it yesterday, he would always sign off the show because he would come on to a local radio show to do the cosmic. He was called the Cosmic Muffin. And he would do the daily astrology thing. And what was in Venus was in retrograde and all that kind of stuff. So he would sign off. It's a wise man who rules the stars, and it's a fool who's ruled by them. That's just stayed with me, whatever that means, some 40 years. So maybe there's some logic to that on the astrological side of life. You have to come back and clarify that for us. Thank you so much for being here today. Thank you so much for the work you are doing. Thank you so much for the work you continue to do. Thank you so much for humanity, what you're doing. Really, thank you so much for my soon-to-be 16-year-old granddaughter and my legacy moving forward. That's the kind of influence that's definitely entering her life as we speak, and I believe will forward. So someday in a faraway place, she's going to know your name. She's going to know how to pronounce it. And she's going to thank you as an influence, like we all do in our lives. Mrs. Jones, when she was the 12... you know, your 12th grade teacher or whatever, our own, I fervently believe the work. She tunes in for a young Gen Zer. She listens in a little bit on the show, so she'll be familiar with who you are, and I believe this are really good lessons for her in the future and all young folks. So thank you for that. I'll ask you to hang around just a second. Audience, we'll say bye-bye for today, and I'll be right here waiting for you. Good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. We'll see you again tomorrow. Bye-bye for now, and may God bless. Peace, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, they said it couldn't be done, and what do they know?